This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Steve Carino Show. I'm your host. Who else would it be? It's Steve Carino. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week, free of charge, through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts. And I need to thank everybody that went out and bought t-shirts last week. It was awesome. I got some. There was the Steve Carino shirt that went up for sale. Mr. Wrestling 3 was the big seller last week. It's a real cool t-shirt. PWF shirts and American Tiger shirts are up at the moment. The more you guys order, the more t-shirts that we can put up there. It's ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. Hey, you like to order from High Spots? Hell yeah, of course you do. They have everything from wrestling rings to wrestling gear, belts to DVDs, and DVDs hosted by me, Steve Carino. You want to know all about old school wrestling? That's where you're going to find out. Huh. Click on the High Spots link on worldofcarino.com. You buy, and they kick some money back to me. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Tonight's show, we have the Enforcer, C.W. Anderson, one of my best friends in the entire world. And if you people have only seen the C.W. Anderson that's been on like ECW television and, you know, for the little bit on WWE, you really don't know the real C.W. Anderson like I do, and I think you're in for a treat. And whew, so let's get into it. You may hear my little co-host in the background, Lil Beckham. We had just gotten back from a Morehead City Marlins game, and he decided to wake up real quick, and you know, so he's watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse at 9:06 at night while we are taping this. And, you know, when his mother hears this show on Friday, she is not going to be too happy. But, hey, you know, and you know, it's one of those things where I believe kids need a good, you know, 10, 11, 12 hours. And I'm lucky. I am so lucky when it comes to the baby, because he is – the greatest sleeper of all time. A lot like his dad in this instance. He sleeps. He doesn't get up in the middle of the night. Pisses his bed. I mean, he is me to the T. I'm excited. Now, the game that we went to is Morehead City Marlins, which is a very low class A independent league, you know, very short season. And I'm going to tell this story because it, you know, now it's been a week. I can tell it, and this is how crazy of a story it is, and my producer Dan McGinn will be able to chime in here in just a second. But so last week was my birthday. My 41st birthday was Thursday, and I want to thank everybody that wrote in at Steve Carino Show at King Carino and, you know, wish me happy birthday. It was cool. I'm not a big birthday guy, but it was really cool. So last Wednesday, Beckham and I go to the opening night of the Morehead City Marlins. And it's great. It's $5 to get in. A lot of these guys are, you know, college athletes, and you see some great baseball, but it's not the major leagues. It's like going to an independent wrestling show. So we get in there and we're having fun. My wife and I bet like that Beck's going to last two innings. I say three. He gets to two innings, and then I tweet out like, "Oh, we're having a great time." Sometimes we call the baby the mayor because he'll like talk and wave to anybody. And so one out in the top of the third, I'm thinking I won this bet already. I look to my left, and there's a guy who's maybe in his later 60s, you know, so somewhere around my dad's age. But he's in rough shape. I mean, he looks in rough shape to begin with. He's, you know, definitely overweight, not like my overweight with my belly, but he's overweight. He doesn't look very healthy. So I'm looking, and I just look, and all of a sudden, just in that instant, his head drops and he starts snoring. And in that quick, he starts falling. Now, these are bleachers. Imagine like a high school football stadium. You know, you got those aluminum bleachers. I have the baby in my right hand and this guy is falling towards the in between the bleachers. I somehow reach over and catch him with my left hand and so that he doesn't hit his head. And, you know, he's like in between the bleachers and I'm thinking, oh shit. So I get up and I still have the baby in my arms. So I get him turned over with one arm, which is amazing. That I had the strength to do that. And then eventually somebody comes and this old lady goes, give me the baby. And I thought for my second, like I go, get away from my baby. But then I thought, oh my God, I got to try to just save this guy's life. Now, I've been certified in CPR for a lot of years. I would say, you know, my oldest son Colby's going to be 18. So around there. And then I manage gyms and stuff like that, you know, throughout the years. So you always have to be CPR certified, but here I am, you know, giving CPR to the guy and the lady's blowing breaths in there. And it was probably the longest 5 minutes of my life because that's how long it took, you know, the ambulance to get there. And I thought, oh my God, like this is craziness. The whole game stopped. And I know Dan's probably going to giggle at this. And it's that moment where I looked out while they're working on him and the game has stopped. Like people are looking very Field of Dreams ish. And I thought, oh. So one of the players, like, kind of like hops the rail. I mean, it's a small rail. He hops the rail. He runs over. And he did not turn into Moonlight Graham, apparently. But, like, at that point, like, that's how sick my mind is. I'm thinking, Moonlight Graham. Holy shit, burger. But, yeah, I guess, unfortunately, the guy had passed away. And, what a shame, you know, and not just that, but, you know, I had to, you know, me and Beck ended up leaving because it was, you know, it's like kind of like a drag, like, oh man, what are we going to do now? But man, tonight we went, it was fun. No one died. Pretty freaking awesome. Whew. And talking about death, and I guess I shouldn't combine the two. The Phillies, they're dead. They're dead. They went 14 innings with the New York Mets on Friday, 14 innings with them on Saturday, and 18 on Sunday. And they lost all three. As we're talking, I think they're down 35-0 to the Washington Nationals. Like, absolutely killing me. What is wrong? Why can I not follow a team that wins? Granted, I had 5-6 great years of the Phillies. But man, I've been a Phillies fan, and even then, I was a Cubs fan too. Ugh. Hey, couple of things. Let's get them out of the way before we start talking about Payback and Raw and NXT and how independent wrestlers are morons. But a quick apology for the marathon podcast last week. It was too long, hour and 50 minutes. I didn't mind because I was driving to West Virginia and I could listen to it. And, you know, I also want to apologize quickly for the technical difficulties during the Brad Cook interview. You know, a couple of different things. I did something wrong. I got disconnected and it screwed up things. But we'll definitely have Brad on in the near future. He's very entertaining. And I love the feedback we got. You know, people are very, very they're very, very considerate with the show. You know, it's not, oh, the show sucks because of the technical difficulties. I thought it was pretty cool. Let's bring in my main man, Dan McGinn. Dan, how you doing tonight, buddy?
King, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk a little bit of wrestling. I wanted to talk a lot of baseball this week, but baseball's got me really depressed. It just the Phillies in general just have me depressed and it's killing me.
Well, you know, it's funny. We always, either Monday or Tuesday, you and I get together. We kind of discuss what we want to talk about. And when you had sent me that line about the Phillies, and you're like, is this the end of the road? Is this the end? And I was like, you know, you sound an awful lot like my father. My father, who is a big fan of the show, and a big fan of baseball in general, I always mark the date when he goes on his monologue of, this is it. This is the last day that the Red Sox will be in contention for the playoffs. And last year, he had his speech at around May 8th that he did that speech. And then, sure enough, they won the World Series. But that's beside the point. Dad, you can always, like, set your watch to his big, this is it. It's over. There's no playoffs in our future. And when you sent that message to me, now I know the Phillies and Red Sox, it's different division, different, you know, management and all that. It made me think of, oh, wow, this is Steve Carino's, this is the end speech coming at you.
You know, but mine's more of an educated, this is the end. You know, in my OOTP game, I'm like 21-34 right now, and I'm 24-36. I just had to take a look. And I haven't called it quits yet. I haven't decided, like, oh, okay, you know, it's bad, but it's not over yet. I could make a big run. But the real Phillies, man, they're killing me. Just killing me. And I like to be positive. My one of my best friends, Ryan Sandberg, is, you know, the manager. And, you know, I'm going to be there on June 15th on Father's Day, and I'll be at Citizens Bank Park. I think that's going to be the day that me and him consummate our friendship. And it'll be good for us to sit down and talk about the direction of his team, and maybe double team Ruben Amaro until he quits. And yeah, it's going to be awful. Let's talk some wrestling now.
All right.
I had a great weekend of wrestling. Not just my personal career. That was a good show on Saturday in West Virginia. I got to hang out with the Rock and Roll Express and Chavo Guerrero Jr. and, you know, the Man Scout Jake Manning. And I almost snuck attack Freight Train again, but, you know, I kept it cool. But let's start with Thursday, NXT TakeOver. Did you get to see that show?
I did. I pieced it together over the last couple days, but I'm really glad I did, because sometimes with NXT, I tend to want to catch up on the actual show before I watch these big events. But I took what I normally do and just chucked it out the window. I said, I'm going to watch this. I've heard too many good things, and I'm really glad I did. What a phenomenal show.
I thought from top to bottom, I thought it was amazing. Sami Zayn, you know, who I've known for so long, it just seems to get better and better. And, you know, the personalities of all the NXT superstars just really came out. It came out like they were major league players. I love the Adam Rose thing in the beginning. He comes all the way from the bus, dancing all the way into the arena to do his match. And I figured out at that point what they're doing wrong with Adam Rose on Raw. They're talking during his entrance. You ruin the whole ambiance of that entrance, which is an awesome entrance. But every week they're talking over it. They got to stop doing that shit.
Not only that, they're goofing on it too. You know, you have like JBL going over the top about Bunny and needing a rabies shot. And, you know, what's the deal with the lemon? And, you know, they don't let it just sort of take over the atmosphere of the, you know, making it seem like a big event. It's just sort of like, oh, here's this guy and his goofs with him walking down the aisle. And yeah, I definitely, and there's been a lot of criticism about, you know, did Adam Rose get sabotaged before he can really get going? But I think some of that might be a little premature, but I think you make a good point.
Yeah, I don't think he got sabotaged. I think it's just what worked for him in NXT isn't going to work for him, or should work for him in WWE. And I think it's one of those things where they're always trying to get in so much in that 3-hour block. I'm the same way with Ring of Honor. Luckily, with Kevin Kelly at my side, he can give me the pinch, like, he let the crowd eat this one alive. Or during a few of the Japanese entrances during War of the Worlds and Global Wars, we didn't say a word. We just let the entrance speak for itself. And that's where I thought, I definitely don't think that there's a sabotage going on. I just think it's a quick fix that they got to make, because it's such a great gimmick. And then they could goof on him during the match. But I thought Rusev, the whole segment with Rusev and the other guy, and I'm sorry that I'm bad with the names. I don't get to watch NXT as much as I would love to. The hype guy, you know, I thought that segment was great, and I don't think it hurt the hype guy at all. You know, it's it was great that the main event was off the charts. The girls match, though, for me, that stole the show. That stole the show. I had never seen Ric Flair's daughter before, and you know, Natty is quite the enigma, and I'm a fan of Natty, and personally and professionally. But it's quite the enigma because I'm a total Divas fan. And to me, Natty is not only a veteran, but she is a legacy, you know. So, but she comes off very what's the word I'm talking about? Insecure. And Dan, do you watch Total Divas?
I do not.
You should. It's, yeah, that's an awesome show. And but she comes off very insecure on that, and she comes off very insecure on NXT during the promo too. And I thought, no, she should be strong. She's a Neidhart. She's a Hart, and she's the vet and everything like that. But that, you know, different strokes for different folks. I just absolutely love the match. I love what they were doing with TJ and Natty afterwards. And it's gotten to the point where I don't believe like NXT is the developmental of WWE. I believe it's like a different show. It's a show that's so good in a smaller arena, and it comes off so good that guys can interchange. And I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome. I can't wait to see another one. I love the pre-show and the post-show. I mean, whoever came up with that, whether it be Triple H or some writers, home run, man. Home run. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, it's great because even though it is from the same location as the regular weekly television program, you know, some people say, oh, that's kind of cheesy. It's kind of like TNA, that sort of thing. But the thing is even if it is the same people coming in all the time, they're the same people who are just like gaga over the product. I mean, they just get into everything. They start the chants. They really create quite an atmosphere. And
it's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. The atmosphere.
It's one thing if it's just a bunch of tourists who here's a free ticket to a wrestling show and they don't really even know what's going on. But these guys seem to know what's going on. They, you know, it's a real organic with their chants, you know, and it's not just the same chants all the time. They come up with, it seems like, new material all the time. They talked about this on the post show, on the wrap up. They really put over the atmosphere and the crowd being just as much of the show as the wrestlers and the music and all that. So they're like a character in and of themselves. But I don't know if you noticed this, too, on the wrap-up show. Triple H said that they're probably going to do it quarterly, where they're going to have a big event, for a year. And I think that's just great. You know, I think it's just something to look forward to every couple months or so.
I think it's just – I actually think it's great, too. And I think, you know, being a employee of Ring of Honor, I believe that that's what we should be shooting for. That should be – you know, the product. And I believe to a point that Ring of Honor fans are as rabid as NXT fans and vice versa. But if Ring of Honor is looking for who their competition is, it's NXT for quality of show. And not to say that TNA is bad. I don't really watch TNA. But I really, really enjoy the NXT thing. And it got me excited for Payback. And it also got me excited for Raw. And going into Payback, I thought, okay, now that I have the WWE Network, I was at WrestleMania Live. I was Extreme Rules. I was working, so I ended up watching that the next day. Now, here's the first one where I could finally sit down and watch it. My wife was into it. We had an adult night, too. We had, like, rum and cokes and everything like that, and she was watching it. Like, she was interested. It was a lot of fun. But coming on right away with Cesaro and Sheamus and going all the way to the main event, it was just great. You know, and I understand sometimes the Diva match gets put in as the filler between like the semi-main and the main event, but they delivered too. Alicia Fox has tore it up as the crazy black woman. But I can't say enough about John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Once again, the John Cena haters will be out there and they'll make excuses and stuff like that. But John Cena brought it You know, Bray Wyatt brought it. Evolution brought it. Batista, even though he was wearing blue, he brought it. I mean, that was just – and the flip-flops of the show, like, you know, we went down with our predictions last week, and we I was totally wrong about the main event. I had Roman Reigns trying to fight from 3-on-1. I never expected a clean sweep, and I was just very, very impressed with the whole show. Leading into Raw, okay. Now, I only got to watch the first 2 hours of Raw, and of course I missed the Seth Rollins turn. Here's what I want to get at real quick. There's nothing worse than opening my email or my Facebook or my Twitter on a Tuesday morning and hearing independent wrestlers bitch and moan about the booking, or the new one I'm hearing is the WWE's racist because, you know, black people aren't getting pushed. And these aren't coming from fans. You know, fans, if you're a fan and that's what you do. Now, as wrestlers, we're all fans. I get that. That's going to be the cop-out that some independent wrestler is going to tweet me this week. If you're a fan, you have every right to be negative or positive, throw in your, well, I don't believe this, or this is the shits, or whatever. And that's your right, and that's your privilege as a professional wrestling fan. As a paying professional wrestling fan, you get that right. As an independent professional wrestler, you do not get that right anymore in a public forum. Your job is to portray yourself as a professional wrestler. If you don't like something, you don't like how things are going, that's where you text your buddy and you say, hey, man, I thought that finish was the shit. Oh, hey, man, I can't believe they're not using me. That's your forum to do it. You don't do it in a public forum, burying the product that you would love that you give your left nut to work for. And I just don't understand it. And I just love, oh, well, we're fans. Aren't we allowed to give our input? No, you don't. You're not allowed anymore. You shouldn't be. So stop doing it. Enjoy what you do. Enjoy the whole process. It's not perfect. It's entertainment. If you think that the WWE is racist because Rusev has defeated 30 people and 15 of them are black, you're a moron. You think they sit around in a publicly traded company and say, how can we beat the black guy tonight? That just doesn't happen. It's ridiculous. I don't care if there's 19 Michael Hayes's in that boardroom. It's not going to happen. And I'm gonna break it down for people that are upset about it. The independent wrestlers too. Main roster, you're probably making a minimum of $75,000 a year. Minimum. That's not including house show bonuses, pay-per-view bonuses, merchandise, whatever. $75,000. Break that down. Break that down, indie guy. That's $1,500 a week. Do you make $1,500 a week in professional wrestling? I'm going to say no. I use professional wrestling as my main source of income, and I still don't bring in $75,000 a year. And I haven't for 10 years now. Wake up, man. Everybody wants to be there. It's the entertainment field. It's not the greatest wrestler is the top guy. It's entertainment. Team it, and you need to focus on that. At the end of the day, your job is to entertain people, the fans. Let them be the ones that are critical. Assholes, come on. Dan, where can we find the Steve Corino Show?
I'll tell you in just a minute, Steve, but if people are complaining about how we book this show, like, oh, why don't you do Twitter first or something like that, you can rest assured that we will block you. You will not get a retweet from this program.
Word up.
All 12 people that follow me are now cowering in fear.
Oh, I'm a chronic blocker. I love it.
Yeah. It's funny, when they told us that we were going to be working together, I was like, oh, the guy that no one likes because he blocks people and the guy that nobody knows doing a podcast together. How have we made it this far? Anyway.
Oh, this is just dumb.
We've made it this far because you have found Steve Carino's show in all of the following ways: by visiting placetobenation.com and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner, or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you too will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at PlaceToBeNation or at Steve Carino Show, and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Finally, if you have questions for our final segment or suggestions for this program, email us at any of the following places: Steve Carino Show at PlaceToBeNation.com, Steve Carino Show at gmail.com, or tweet us at Steve Carino Show.
I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite segments of the show is your pitch. It's pretty awesome. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have the enforcer, C.W. Anderson, and we are going to tell you a story that you're never going to believe, and I wouldn't have believed it if I wasn't there myself. I mean, that could be one of 10 stories. Okay, let's be honest. That could be one of 45 stories involving C.W. Anderson. But this one will go a little bit with our baseball theme, and you're going to really enjoy it. When we come back, C.W. Anderson will join us here on the Steve Carino Show. Every step I get to, I'm clocking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're
making our fame. Bonafide hustler, making my name. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling. Oh.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
We're back on this week's edition of the Steve Carino Show, and I promise you, it took 7 episodes to do it, but I promised you that my best friend in the world, man, the guy that I have been up and down the road with for, I'd say 18 of the 20 years that I've been involved in professional wrestling, This guy and I have not only been up and down the road on the independents, but ECW. We were travel partners in ECW also. We actually got to wrestle each other on pay-per-view once. That's a story all in itself. And, you know, we've done multiple tours of Japan together and Australia, a lot of great stuff. This week, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the enforcer, C.W. Anderson. C.W., how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm so excited to have you on because, you know, it's one of those things where once I was doing the show, I made like a list of people that I wanted on, and then I was strategically like placing like where I wanted them because like I wanted to get maybe a fan base going. Like I had Cliff Compton on the first one because he's got such an internet fan base, and I'm thinking, okay, let me see if I can get some people in here. Let me get going because, you know, I really want people to see a different side of C.W. Anderson, the side that myself, I get to see Guillotine Legrand seen plenty of times, even the low keys and stuff like that. What I want to do is I want to get to right from the beginning. How did you get involved in professional wrestling?
It was clearly by accident. You know, for everybody that really doesn't know me, I was a baseball standout, got drafted. We'll talk about that. But I was coming home from college once I declined and went into college instead. Big mistake. Anyway, I was working. I was in between college, and it was the summer break, and I was working just a job, and I was at McDonald's one day, and there was a guy standing in front of me that I've known for a while and got to talking to him, and he was doing something called independent wrestling in the area I lived in a town called Zebulon. Got to talking. Now, I wasn't really a fan of wrestling growing up. It took me till I was about 14 till I became a fan. My brother, huge fan the whole time. Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Vayette was his all-time favorite. And he got me kind of hooked on it about 14. Anyway, the guy said he was doing the wrestling, and he had a show that coming weekend. And if I wanted to ride with him to the show, I could get there early, and he'd get me in the ring. We'd, you know, roll around, so to speak, and see if I liked it and maybe something to do. So I did, got there, and it just kind of got hooked, and it kind of snowballed from there to where I was going to shows, just getting in the ring, training with people. I never really had a formidable trainer, and, you know, had my first show under a hood just to get my feet wet, and then they kind of got the Anderson name that night and started tagging with this guy called, his real name was Pat Connors. He ran as Pat Anderson. And we just started tagging left and right. And he was about 10 or 15 years older than I was at the time. So he was getting ready to retire anyway. And I think that's around the time you and I met, Steve. I was doing a little more singles wrestling, and I started traveling with you up to Pennsylvania, just kind of helping get my name out. Remember, we rode with Tom Cassati and those guys.
Oh, yeah.
The Headbangers and Joey and Christian, Adam Flash. That's pretty much the start of it before everything started, you know, falling into place.
And that was the thing. Like, I would say it was like very early 96 that, you know, we had met on a show, basically a Tom Cassati booking. We were all booked together in, like you said, the Adam Flashes and the Joey Mercurys and Christian Yorks. And you were the same type of guy I was. You were a North Carolina guy, and you were trying to make your name up the Northeast, where I was a Northeast guy. I was trying to make my name in the South, and we just hit it off, you know, so quickly. And it was a lot of fun. Hey, do you remember what was your name under the mask?
El Chico.
El Chico.
Yeah. That's when Razor Ramon was popular. And, you know, the guys I was working for, you know, when you work for indie promotions and the promoters are marks, and they wanted me to do the Razor Ramon type thing with the toothpick and all that. And man, I didn't know any better. Hell, I hadn't even been formally trained. So I did it. That was the only night I did it. The only night. And after that, I became C.W. Anderson. Yeah.
Now, for people that have only been exposed to what the enforcer C.W. Anderson was like in ECW and in Japan, and nowadays, and I was just telling somebody this weekend, and it was Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. We were talking, and I don't know if you saw Ricky on a show or something like that, but he was complimenting on like how great you look. And I said, you know what? Like, I would venture to say that he's been doing his best work too. Like, you're just so good at what you do. And we'll get into that in a little bit more. But your style when you first started was more of a high flying style. In fact, your finishing move before the spine buster was the Alabama Jam.
I know. And I was heavier. You know, I was around the 250, 260 range and in my mid to early 20s and doing a leg drop off the top. It was because I was such a mark for Bobby Eaton. You know, I had the snap punch like he did before I developed my own punch and swinging neck breaker. But, yeah, the leg drop off the top rope. And I was doing like a Frankensteiner off the apron. Just crazy things, man. It's just I didn't know any better.
No, what made you switch your style? Was it it's something that you figured you had to be, you know, you have the Anderson persona. You know what the methodical style is. Did you feel like, okay, I'm going to get my break if I change my style and work towards what the character is?
I don't know why I stopped doing the leg drop off the top. I know one of the main reasons is because it freaking hurt. I mean, my back was getting it hurt. Yeah. So I started just, I guess, a couple injuries with my back and my knees and stuff. And I started developing a good spine buster and a good punch. And it was around the mid, late 90s when I just stopped high flying and started. I was getting to where I was learning how to work. Instead of being a wrestler, I was becoming more of a worker. And it wasn't until I got to the power plant that Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker got his hands on me to where I actually, you know, he fine-tuned everything I did. But I remember for the longest still doing that leg drop, and it got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. And it was I remember Ricky Morton told me something early in my career one night because I wanted to do the leg drop and I wanted to do the spine buster. And he said, CW, he said, look, I'm going to grab your little finger. We're going to go out there. And he said, I'm going to get over more working your little finger than you are doing those leg drops and spine busters and all that stuff. In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, right. He don't know what he's talking about. But, damn, man, he showed me he knew what he was talking about. He got over huge. And it wasn't about doing the moves. It was where you were placing things and how you were working with the crowd. So it was a learning experience.
Absolutely. I believe, you know, Ricky Morton is a guy that a lot of young guys probably just kind of be like, oh, that guy's still doing it and this, and yeah, he's still got the mullet and everything like that. But Ricky Morton to this day still gets over because he knows what to do. And I think he's such a good positive influence in the locker room if guys want to listen. And I truly believe that that's one of the things that really helped guys like you and I out in the beginning. Once we started in ECW, we were sponges, and we had the opportunity to ride with probably the most underrated, you know, knowledgeable guy in wrestling history by the name of Jack Victory.
Absolutely.
And he not only made wrestling like, you know, he would give us pointers and do stuff, but he would do it in such a fun and positive way that you didn't hate wrestling, and he wasn't the drill sergeant on us, and he wasn't the bitter veteran, or he was a guy that was a little older than us that had been everywhere, and he was like passing on the knowledge.
Now he was so much fun to be with too.
And absolutely. And what I want to tell a story here, and we're talking with the enforcer CW Anderson this week on the Steve Corino Show. When you first started, and I think I was only in ECW, maybe 6 months before you came in?
6 months, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we started riding together real quick. And then the travel click became Lou D'Angeli, Louis Dangerously, Jack Victory, you and I. And in the beginning, you know, you're quiet and everything like that. And, you know, I know the CW, but you know, you're still being respectful. And I always remember this because it was the night that, like,
in the hotel room.
It went all bad, but it went great. And CW he doesn't have a big head, but like that's what Dreamer and, you know, in Victory gave you, like, ah, oh, you have a big head and stuff like that. And
Jack always called me Bigum.
Bigums, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, and you would take it and you would take it and you never shot back. And this went on for like a couple months. Here comes Jacko, and he says, and you're going to have to correct me if I have it wrong, but you basically say, or he says something about your head, and you shoot back with, you know, about Jack Victory's ass getting through the door.
It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. We were all dragging ass and tired, and he was leading the way. And we're walking down the hall, and it's the huge double doors that are fold open. So you've got enough room to drive a Mack truck through, and somehow his ass hits the side of the door. And nobody puts it over, and out of nowhere, I said, your ass couldn't fit through it, huh?
And there was that moment where there was, like, your eyes met. There was that tense stare. And me and Lou thought, oh, shit, Jack is getting hot. And he just busts out laughing, and it started. You know, that's when the fun started.
And it was like that for years with me and Jack.
Oh,
the best part, and we'll jump forward with this, but the whole time we were at ECW, even when we were traveling afterwards doing little indie shows, it was constant. Me and him back and forth. Well, Steve has his PWF up in Philly, and I'm coming out. I think I'm working Chris Hammer for your belt because I was a heavyweight champion.
Yes.
And Jack's supposed to do a run-in, but my music's getting ready to play. You're there. Lou's there. Hammer's already gone out, and Joey Matthews is there. Everybody is around, and Jack stands up. He goes, CW, man, we've been back and forth for years backing with my ass in your head. He said, I just want to squash it, man. I just want to, I love you. You're one of my best friends, blah, blah, blah. My music starts playing. He said, I want you to go out and have a great match. He said, well, you know, this is great. He said, I love you, CW. He gives me the big hug, and I was like, man, Jack's really – he's really squashing this. As I go to walk through the curtain, the fucker trips me and pushes me out through the people.
he was just so, like, so much fun to have around. Yeah, always throwing the right hand at catching you. Man, he just tagged you with that. Yeah, we could be in a sushi bar and, watch the right. Boom! Man, did he have, he had such a great right hand, and just the times with him really, I think, gave me a perspective of like what I wanted to be when I was a veteran. And I think same with you, because when we started going over to Japan, I was only 4 tours ahead of you before you started coming over. And as soon as you came over, we had the same thing of like, hey man, we're just two guys having fun, doing our thing. We're gonna try and entertain people, and we're not gonna treat people like shit.
Yes.
And it really helped out because the young boys over there would always get treated like shit by the Japanese, the older Japanese guys, and that was part of their, that was all part of the learning process there. But both you and I really said it, and made sure that we would teach younger guys was like, look, just because they treat those guys like shit, that doesn't mean we do. And, instead of those guys looking at us like, oh, these assholes are going to treat us like shit too, we became friendly with them, and then we could have that joke around thing. Like, I how many times did we joke with Ryoji and Kohei about washing Hashimoto's balls? And
all the time, because you remember Joe and a couple of them was really hard on them over there. Like, they were treating them like they were their young boys, and like, man, me and you never did that. That's why they always, just came to us, because we treated them just like, just like they were human, so to speak. And they always,
it was one of those things where they, respected us. And, when they were first starting out, they were like basically told like fight for your life. But when they would wrestle us, light as a feather.
Yep, because you remember Hashimoto, he would always tell him, if you want to learn how to, as his words, American pro wrestle, he would always get us to work with him. He said, there's nobody better than Steve Corino and C.W. Anderson.
And that's the thing. I mean, they put like Hirotaka Yokoi, who was a shooter. How long did we wrestle with him? Because they wanted him to learn like the, please, entertainment style, and we would go out there and
break off of us.
Yeah, and it was great, and I'll never forget the first time that you come over, and our first match is against Nova and Frankie Kazarian, but our real first like Japanese match is in the main event of this sold out building in Fukuoka, which is in the south of Japan, and it's Fujiwara and Hashimoto against me and you, and they give us these baseball jerseys to throw down and wipe our ass with, which became our gimmick for a year.
I still have the jerseys.
Oh, me too. But I'll never forget, we start the match, and you and Hashimoto get into it, and I'm like watching, and I'm excited. And then all of a sudden, you bring him over to our corner, and you start chopping the shit out of him.
You see on video your mouth going, "What the hell are you doing? This is the boss."
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking, we're going to lose our job. Oh, shit. Yeah. Even now, today, like, we'll talk over a match with some young kids, and then I'll go back, and I don't even know if you do this. I go back, and I'll say, "Hey, man, I'm the easiest guy you're ever going to work with. My partner there, he can work, and he's going to work your ass off." I go, "So if he chops you, that doesn't mean you chop me. If he kicks you hard, that doesn't mean you kick me hard." I said, I'm going to make it as easy as possible. When you're in the ring with him, you'll work your ass off. And it's funny because you're such the easygoing guy. And, I have to reveal it. I have to reveal it. Now, you're such an easygoing guy until it comes to anything involving baseball.
I know. I turn into a different person.
You do. And, a lot of fans don't realize that you were drafted by the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
Decided as a catcher, they're very influenced by Benito Santiago.
Yes. I still have the tattoo of him on my knee, on my ankle right now.
Right. And you had worn 09 as like a tribute to him, right?
Yes. Yeah. I still wear it today. Like my jersey I had on tonight has 09 on the back of it.
Wow. Yep. And, so, CW is very, very competitive when it comes to baseball. You know, he played baseball in college, turned down the deal from the San Diego Padres. Now, it's got to kill you that Brad Ausmus, and if my memory serves me right, Brad Ausmus was drafted right after you?
Yeah.
He was drafted right after you.
And yeah.
I can't believe that they called him the enforcer for so many years.
Yeah, that freaking sucks, actually.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up. But, yeah, I just always thought that, wow, that's so weird. And another little bit of trivia, our Extreme Horseman partner, Simon Diamond, Pat Kenny, was also drafted by the San Diego Padres as a catcher. Yeah,
he was drafted the year before me.
Yeah, me, I played for the Little Sisters of the Poor. I wasn't very good. We're touring Japan, and we're usually on 2 weeks, off 2 weeks, doing our thing. And these bus rides get very long, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. And we weren't really the party guys. We would party every once in a while, but, we just kind of like did our thing. If our big night out was, the eight of us playing Uno or watching Super Troopers or Blazing Saddles in a hotel conference room. I mean, we used to laugh and say, "Hey guys, we're 30. And so we ended up bringing our baseball gloves on tour with us, and we would get to a town early and we'd have a catch, and you can only have a catch with CW so long. Cause even, and am I right to say you're 43, right?
43. Yep.
43 years old. This guy still throws in the mid 80s, and like he'll hurt your hand. Like I used to bring my batting glove and a sponge to put in my glove to catch him. And we had this bus driver who was, or I'm sorry, the ring truck driver who was.
Yes.
He didn't speak any English, but he loved baseball. And he, as soon as he found out CW was drafted by the San Diego Padres, CW now became his hero. So we get to a town early, and it's a country town. It's not Tokyo or Osaka. Do you even remember the town name?
I don't remember, but I know we left. We had to be on the bus at 10 o'clock that morning. We were dreading it because we were like, anytime you had to get on the bus that early, it's 6-7 hour bus ride. Mm-hmm. The worst one we had was 14, and we were hungover. That was the worst. Oh. But that one was – yeah, we got on. They said, please, 10 o'clock. So we do 10, get on the bus. Like 45 minutes later, we arrive to the building.
And yeah, the show's not mapped that one out.
Still ain't figured that out.
For a 6:30 show. And those were the days when you didn't have to do the ring.
Exactly.
So we sit there, and there is a little – I would say like the closest thing to it's a little league team, and they're practicing, and the driver takes it as his opportunity to, you know, go up and tell the coach, like, hey, I got, you know, a real ball player and his tag team partner with him, and they have gloves and they'd love to come out. And, you know, and the team opened the, you know, I'm so surprised because you know how the Japanese are very disciplined. They let us play. I take shortstop. And
yeah, they were doing game situations.
Mm-hmm. And I was having a hard time right from the beginning. I think the first – there was a runner on first, nobody out. Ball hit to me. I can't get the glove out of my – I have the ball out of my glove.
You're trying to turn it over play. They're game situations. So somebody's hitting. The coach is pitching. I'm in right field. Steve's at shortstop. First batter hits the one right to Steve at shortstop. He bobbles it. He can't make the play. So the little boy at second base kind of looks at him kind of funny. So you have a man on first and second. There's one out. The next kid gets up. Same exact play.
This is my redemption.
It's redemption. He's going to make it all up then. Ball's hit to him. He fields it clean and throws that sumbitch in right field. The little boy from second base starts cussing him in Japanese.
Not knowing that me and you knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. And you said, you little fuck, I know what you're saying.
Now, by this time, the boys are getting off the bus and like starting to watch. And then the coach or somebody says, do you want to pitch, CW? And
I threw one from right field. I threw a line shot from right field, and the coaches saw that I had a really strong arm. So they asked the bus driver to ask you, you know, does CW want to pitch some batting practice?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I'm your first victim. And
yeah.
Holy shit, man.
I'm warming up, and I don't know why, but when I start doing things like that, it's the World Series, Game 7.
It's just Anderson's off, and you're your real name.
Yeah. So I remember you get up, you're the first one. I throw three by you, and I said, how are they? And your response was, I don't know. I ain't seen them yet.
Yeah, sounded great. But I loved when Takaiwa, your Japanese brother, steps up and is literally standing on the plate.
He stands on the plate, and I'm looking at you. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah, but I have to tell him to get off the plate, and so does Ohtani, because you're now disrespected. And there's like fire in your eyes. So you are just blowing people away. And you could just tell, like, I'm looking around and the kids are getting bored. You've now struck out like 15 people in a row. No one's even fouling the ball off. So it's like the coach's son pops up.
Yeah, he said the coach asked me, can his son hit? Well, the coaches couldn't hit. He said, can my son hit? He was like 16. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah. He stands up, and the first couple you're blown by, but now you're deciding, you know what, let me work on that knuckleball.
Yeah, I'm cocky now.
Yeah, so you throw a knuckleball, and this kid hits the shit out of it. Right?
Crushes it.
It just crushes it, and you would have thought, like, you would have thought that they just won World War II. They fucking explode, like, everybody. And I'm thinking, oh, this is such a cool moment. And I'm looking to center field, and then I look back, and I look at your face. And your face has – you're beet red.
Yeah.
And you have a look of anger as this kid's, like, rounding the bases.
And I'm showing me up.
Yeah, he's dancing. All of a sudden, he became Mr. Bayball. And, everybody's cheering, and he gets up to play it again. And when everything slowed down. It was like – I've never done acid before, but I imagine acid feels like this, where everything is just in slow motion. And I'm trying to get out to yell to the kid, like, get out of there, get out of there.
They don't stand back in there.
He steps in, and I'm thinking, and hey, CW, nothing. He's not even paying attention to me. I said, oh, shit. CW winds up, and then hits this kid right in the back.
I know. I threw it just as damn hard as I could at him. And he turns and it hits him, and all you hear was, boom.
Oh, my God. And, like, he was in such pain, but, like, looked at you to try and man up for a second, and then just went down. And you got booed by, like, the kids. And that quick, like, parents were standing up, but like then the 0-1 wrestlers were like, oh no, it's okay. Yeah, there had to be like, it was like an international incident about to happen. And
Otani was the only one. He come unglued laughing.
he went up in the air. Yeah. His feet went up in the air, like he was like giggling, laughing.
They had to escort us off the field. We went from nice and friendly to damn near getting killed.
Yeah, and like Hashimoto had to give tickets to the whole like little league just to appease them after you killed one of them. Oh, it was absolutely amazing. You were the biggest heel in that town. I want to say it was Hokodate. But you were the biggest heel.
Yeah, the house, because it got around.
Oh, it did, you know, and it was so funny. Like, you know, that was 11 years ago, and it just still makes me laugh that, man, you can ask CW to do anything. He'll be all right. Second you start playing baseball with him, he turns into this awful person. Oh, great. You know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, so that people could really see, like, man, this is the CW Anderson, and we could talk for hours upon hours. Now, CW, you'll be appearing Friday, June 20th for the PWF in Hubert, North Carolina. Yep. You're currently the PWF World 1 Heavyweight Champion, even though Chris Rockwell says he's going to unify the belts because he wasn't the last one, but he's kind of a turd. But where are you at this weekend?
I'm actually in Friday night. I'm in Poughkeepsie, New York, for House of Hardcore, and Saturday I'm in Philly at the National Guard Armory for House of Hardcore.
And there's still tickets available. HouseofHardcore.com. Is it HouseofHardcore.com or .net?
I think it's .net.
I think it is .net. HouseofHardcore.net. If that's not right, just go to RFVideo.com. He has tickets for sale. Totally packed shows produced by Tommy Dreamer and the House of Hardcore. CW Anderson will be on there. CW, what's your Twitter?
ECW Anderson.
ECW Anderson. You can follow him on Twitter at ECW Anderson.
And so also follow Lady Enforcer CW.
That's right. And it's my little son is such a fan of the Lady Enforcer. And CW, I'd love to have you back on the show again. Because there's so much that I want to talk about, and you know, we talked about the funny stuff this time. But next time you're on, I really want to talk about the rebirth of you, the person, that over the last year or two. And I'd love to have you back on in the next couple of weeks because you're such an inspirational story that you really proves that your good people always do win out at the end. So I would love to have you back on in a couple of weeks.
Just let me know, man. I think that's just one that a lot of people need to tune into, because it definitely changed my life completely. And I'm such a better person for it, but it's definitely a story that I get a lot of emails and a lot of comments from the inspiration and from everything I've been through over the past few years with my personal life. So it's definitely something that's definitely, you know, if it even helps one person to get through, say, hey, well, I'm going through it too, then so be it, whatever it takes.
It sounds good, yeah. And it's a great story, and I think the people who listen to the Steve Carino show, it's something that they're definitely going to be touched by it. So, CW, I'm going to let you go, but hey, thank you. And, it's always great to tell a great, great baseball story. This was.
It's always good. It's always good.
Go ahead, sorry. No, go ahead.
I'll say it's always good to hear from you, man.
Thanks. I'll see you on June 20th anyway. Well, yeah. But I was CW Anderson, and when we come back, it's going to be some Twitter love and some Q&A. This is the Steve Carino Show.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com, as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's main event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at TheHistoryOfWWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
You know what it is when we do what we do.
And now, time for a little Twitter Q&A with the King of Old School, and Dan, too, on the Steve Carino Show.
And we're back for our final segment here on the Steve Carino Show. It's Twitter love and, you know, some Q&A. Now, I want to thank C.W. Anderson for coming on the Steve Carino Show. Like I said, we could have him on every other week and really have a lot of fun. He's got some great stories and a real inspirational story, you know, about his personal life. Now I'm going to give everybody a little list of what's coming up on the Steve Carino Show in the next couple weeks. Next week, Alice in Danger from Shimmer will be on the show. The week after, during its ROH pay-per-view week, I think that's what I'm going to christen it as, I'm going to have a special guest that we're going to announce next week. But it is going to be big, and Kevin Kelly is going to be so jealous. The weekend after that, we're going to have Guillotine LeGrand, and I want people to get really ready for Guillotine LeGrand. We had talked about it before. Guillotine LeGrand had he was the co-writer of all the lists at ROH, and you know, he had some booking experience in WWC in Puerto Rico, and we got some great stories of that. In July, Tiger Jit Singh and Tiger Ali Singh will be on. Scotty Riggs, Adam Cole will join us in the Steve Carino Show in July. And also we're going to have Kevin Kelly and another mystery guest that we'll be announcing just in the next few weeks. So check that out on future episodes of the Steve Carino Show. But now it's time for some Twitter Q&A. I'm going to start off this week. This question I don't think is for me. It's from J.F. Feeney III, J.F.F.E.E.N.E.Y. 3RD, say third. Steve Carino Show, when Keener's back on, can you please ask him about refereeing the Benoit Guerrero match at ECW One Night Stand? Now, we're definitely going to have Keener back on eventually, and I should have sent him this question before, but I do remember him being super excited for that, and if I'm right, The match that he really enjoyed doing was Storm versus Jericho, and that was big. I may be wrong, I think there were problems with the Benoit Guerrero match at ECW One Night Stand that he'll talk about. But we'll definitely have him on to talk about that in the future, even if it is for a couple minutes. Dan, what you got?
I got at Steve J. Rogers, JR. He writes, at Steve Carino Show, where does Tug McGraw rank on your Phillies reliever all-time list?
Now, that's funny because, you know, we had talked about Brad Lidge. We talked about Steve Bedrosian. We talked about Mitch Williams. Tug McGraw right there had the final strikeout of Willie Wilson, 1980 World Series. Tugger definitely is a sentimental favorite for me because of – you know, I was 7 years old when they won it in 1980, and he was such a personality. I definitely believe that if I was a little bit older, you know, in those days, even if I was 10, 11 years old, Tug McGraw probably would have been my favorite reliever of all time. Now, as a little leaguer at the time, I was a starter, so, you know, Steve Carlton was my favorite. But the whole story of Tug McGraw and, you know, what a fun guy he was, and, you know, with his son Tim McGraw and everything, their relationship, it's definitely a good story. So Tug McGraw on the Philly all-time reliever list, right up there, two or three. Now, JDIVIRGILIO4III is back this week, and he asks, who is the funniest person you ever met in wrestling? Whew. That could be a couple of them. Kevin Nash is one of the funniest guys that you'll ever, ever meet. Just a guy that always just makes me laugh from the moment I hear him talking to the time that he's done. But you got Colt Cabana, that's absolutely hilarious. Austin Aries is one that you wouldn't think would be funny, but he's definitely funny. Mark Briscoe is one that keeps me laughing a lot. Bobby Cruz, just because he's super bitter. But I think probably, my wife will agree with me on this one, probably the funniest guy in wrestling right now, without a doubt, is Cliff Compton. Mm. My wife went, meh. Or Freight Train. Okay, Freight Train's not, he's not funny at all. Waiting on you, buddy.
Oh. Do you want me to answer the question, or do you want me to go to the next one?
No, I thought you were going to go to the next one. I'm
with you on the Cliff Compton thing, and I think the great thing about Cliff is actually, it was a dynamite choice for episode one, but if we ever do release the What Happens Between the show, like the between segments show, I mean, he had me rolling, and I'm sure we could have been talking for hours afterwards, you know, about baseball and just some of the crazy stuff he's got into, just, you know.
Do you keep them?
I do have some originals of the recordings that actually survive, you know, that actually last. Whether or not it could be dubbed into a show, somebody, you know, that's above my pay grade, but I'm sure somebody on the staff could do it if we
right.
If we kept all that original and it came out okay, you know, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, new voice to the program at @Lariat_Winslow. He writes the @SteveCarinoShow. Since you liked Lost so much, did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
I never did. I want to say that was before my time, and I didn't know that there was like a correlation of it, or, you know, of the two. We talked about it last week, you know, such a huge, huge fan of Lost, and amazing. I almost want to spend the summer going back and watching it again.
Did you ever watch Fringe?
No. Was that good?
You know, I watched season one all the way through, and it wasn't, I mean, it was similar to Lost, but not completely, obviously. And I asked my friend who watched all of them. And I go, hey, man, I just watched season one. He goes, well, if you like season one, the rest of them are totally different. And I was like, well, I did like season one, so does that mean I like the rest of them? And he goes, what you should do is just watch them all sequentially in order. Just take a whole weekend off and just watch them. And I'm like, okay, well, I like it. He goes, I think you'll really like it. I'm like, okay, fine. I still have yet to do it. I have them just sitting on my, you know, my DVD rack. Not being used, still probably in the shrink wrap, but eventually, mark my words, I will watch Fringe and tell you all about it.
Yeah, we're stressing. We're stressing out. We're out of shows right now. Following's on hiatus and Dancing with the Stars and the Goldbergs. And what else do we watch, hon? Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Man, I don't know what to do. We're out of shows, so we're going to need some. All right, where are we at here? Is it your turn, my turn? My turn, your turn?
I just read a question, yeah.
It's a little Twitter love time.
Twitter love.
The same one, Lariat Wilson, finally took the time to check out the @SteveCarino show. Great show. Take the time to check it out and add it to your weekly podcast intake. Yes, there are plenty of professional wrestling podcasts there, especially here on the Place to Be Nation. You know, when I re-listen to the shows and I listen to the commercials and, I get real excited because the podcast has really become the new outlet of, you know, people talking. Years ago, I think we talked about this earlier podcast, that – there was the blog, and then there's the commentary, and there's this. But the podcast, not everyone is the same. Everybody's got something else to talk about, and I believe it's so interesting. And for young wrestlers and young fans that are traveling to shows and are putting it on their iPod or listening to it on iTunes, I think it's such a great outlet for the sport that we love. And, you know, as much as I try and say that this isn't a pro wrestling podcast, it really is. You know, of course, I'm going to incorporate some more baseball in the next couple of weeks and everything. You know, especially after the ROH pay per view, I'd like to get a couple, whether it be minor league baseball players on or people in the baseball industry. But the pro wrestling podcast fraternity is top notch. You look at your Stone Cold Steve Austins and, God forbid, Jim Ross or, you know, Chris Jericho and definitely Colt Cabana is basically the leader. And then you look on the Place to Be Nation family, and you got myself and Kevin Kelly. You got old school wrestling that is produced by the Place to Be Nation and Rob Naylor, who is such a genius when it comes to professional wrestling. And you have guys that are just having fun and having round tables and, yeah, like, you should have a weekly podcast intake because there's so much out there for you to listen to.
You know, Steve, I'm actually quite impressed that in all 7 episodes so far, in all your interviews, I don't think you've once asked anybody about ending the Undertaker streak, about Daniel Bryan or CM Punk at all. And that's kind of Jim Ross's bread and butter. That's his go-to.
Yeah, that's all he knows. It's funny, I did pick, and I'm going to admit this, I did pick Punk to come back on Sunday.
Did you?
I did, and, you know, I had the place. I thought, here it is. He's going to give up these belts, and the music's going to hit, and he's going to come out and turn on Daniel Bryan, and that's going to lead to WrestleMania 31, and I was wrong.
If I had that thought for 1 second, it got completely extinguished when I realized that the Chicago Blackhawks were playing across town in a Game 7 situation, and I realized there's no way Punk... I guess if a bag of money was dropped on his doorstep, maybe, but there was no way that guy was going to miss that hockey game.
Yeah, and you know, I thought, like, the clue, I had told my wife, I said, I think he's coming back tonight. I just, there was that Vince McMahon tweet where he said he would welcome him back, and I said, and then when Heyman buried him right away, mm-hmm. I said, he's coming back. He's coming back. And he didn't. They played that off so well. It was great.
That he did. more love for us, it's, or you particularly, I don't know if I'm even mentioned here, but at SmittyDog34, he goes, if you are not listening to the At Steve Carino show on At Place to Be Nation, you are wrong. Keep them coming at King Carino. May I add, not only are you wrong, you're probably just a bad person.
Yes, definitely. You must hate John Cena, too. Yeah, SmittyDog34 is my buddy John Smith in Orlando, Florida. A quick story about John. My wife and I went to Orlando last year. It was last year, right? And we decide to camp. So we go to Fort Wilderness, and we went out. We bought a little cheap tent and everything like that, and it was cool and everything. And we get down there, and she goes, oh, you didn't bring any tools, did you? I go, no. We didn't even have flashlights. It was great because, like, John Smith, like, ended up meeting us, and he picked up flashlights for us, and we met him on the way, and it was great. It was a great time. And, and our son survived. He was what? He was just a little peanut, right? Yeah, not even, right? Yeah, he was like, yeah, he was 8 weeks in her belly. She went on some roller coasters. Drank heavily. Okay, she didn't drink heavily. Yeah, that was a month before. But she didn't know, so it was all right. All right. Tim Dunst wrote, I just listened to the Steve Carino show. I appreciate the kind words. It meant a lot. Coming for you. Hope to see you soon. Thanks. We talked about Tim Dunst last week on the Steve Carino show. Great young talent, man. I adore the guy. I really think he's got a lot to give, and you know, whether it be an ROH or even somewhere bigger, the guy is, he's young, he's talented, and he can talk. He would sell me a ticket to go see a show. I would love it.
Yeah, and definitely shoot him a follow too, because as we talked about last week, the fellow who gave him some love over the Twitter, also he responded, so that was great to see that, you know. So definitely give him a shout out as well.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
And one last shout out here from the kind folks over at Place Number 2B Nation. They write, a very happy birthday to our friend and PTBN podcast family member, Mr. Steve Carino.
Well, I thank you. It was a fun birthday. My wife brought home a cake. That was fun. Enjoyed it. And but it was quiet besides, you know, what was it, Thursday, right? Yeah. I'm not a big birthday guy. I'm not a big birthday guy. But it was fun, and she always makes it fun for me because she's a birthday girl. She loves birthdays, so I have to learn how to be a birthday guy.
I'm kind of the spoiled one in my family, I'll admit it. My birthday kind of takes on the entire month of April. I'm one of those types.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're 33?
Yeah, go figure, right? But, yeah, I mean, it's usually, you know, we're going to do the ball game this weekend, and then we're going to, you know, do the cake and dinner this weekend, and you can do your friend's thing, you know, actually coincide with WrestleMania this year, my birthday, so I actually hung out with Justin and the gang, and we all got together, and Justin begrudgingly got me a Red Sox World Series poster that's now hanging in my family room. And April. So again, if you want to send your cards or your birthday greetings, you can do so anytime between April 1st and 30th of 2015. I'll allow it.
Yes, e-cards are acceptable. Do people do e-cards still? Is that a thing?
I always think they're spam, to be honest. Like, I'm always kind of afraid of opening them.
Me too. Yeah. Jordan just says, you wanted to send wedding invitations email. I thought that would have been so much better.
It saves on paper.
Right?
I actually just got...
Fees and postage?
If I can go personal here for a second, I actually just got a wedding invitation from one of my cousins. And it's not just a card that says, show up here, bring, you know, what have you at this time, and then there will be a service afterwards. I mean, this thing is like a book. And it has like a little ribbon bow thing with a little teeny envelope. And then there's a note with inside the envelope. It's pretty, pretty intricate. I might need an extra set of hands to go through it all.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a lot. That's a lot of fun stuff. You know, it's such a time where like you're spending so much money and everything, and I love it. You know, the whatchamacallit, the wedding season is in full effect. We're going to a couple weddings soon, so I'm excited. My sister-in-law is the queen of weddings. She went to like she was in 9 last year. So, craziness.
That's a lot of bridesmaid gowns.
Hmm?
That's a lot of gowns that you have to like go through, get.
It sure is. Oh, okay. So this Saturday I will be appearing for C4 Explosive Wrestling. It's called A Night of Miracles. And it'll be from the X Gym Sports Mall in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 568 George Bishop Parkway in Myrtle Beach. Should be a lot of fun. I will be there. Shannon Moore, Jesse Neal, and a bunch of other guys will be there. Justin Credible was supposed to be on the show, but I don't see him anymore. I haven't seen Shannon Moore in forever. But I will be there. And then on Sunday, are you buying rollerblades this weekend? Yeah. Jordan and I will be rollerblading/biking. I won't be rollerblading. I don't think I'm that coordinated. But, yeah. And don't forget, go to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino. Buy your Steve Carino shirt, your Mr. Wrestling 3, PWF, or American Tiger t-shirts. Only $19.99. How can you beat it? The guys over at 1 Hour Tees are doing a great job of it. You can follow me on Twitter at King Carino. You should know that already. Or you can follow any of my projects. Mr. Wrestling 3 is at Legend of the Mask. PWF, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. And our Twitter is at PWF Legacy. Start following that shit. Oh, what else we got going on? Dan, plug me some stuff.
All right. You can always follow me at dmcg4881. The conversation doesn't end when this show goes off the air. A lot of times you might be able to catch Steve and I going back and forth, particularly when Steve is bragging about his predictions from a pay-per-view, as I got quite a few of those over the weekend.
I did. I was excited.
So feel free to join the conversation of the Steve Carino Show during the week after you listen, or maybe before you listen. Who knows? Also, visit us at placetobenation.com. Scott and I, we're still going strong with our Inside the Legends House recap. We just finished up a couple episodes. We were a little bit behind, but we actually are now all caught up. We talked about LARPing a few weeks ago. We talked about the game show this past week. So you want to check that out. And also, one more thing. When you're reading my stuff or anybody's stuff on placetobenation.com, go over to the right-hand side. There's a little Amazon app there. You can click on that. Do your normal regular shopping over at amazon.com. It won't cost you anything more than what you already purchased. And then because you did that, they throw a little bit of scratch our way over at Place to Be Nation. So we appreciate that anytime you can do that. If you're thinking about shopping anyway and you're reading the great content, you might as well put them all together and help us all out here at the Place to Be Nation.
My lovely wife loves her some Amazon. And that's the thing. Like, Amazon's the coolest place ever. Like, man, you can get anything on Amazon. Is that what you ordered your rollerblades?
Yeah.
Yeah, she ordered rollerblades. Should have done it through Place to Be Nation, but you'll know now. Oh, that was a fun episode of the Steve Carino Show. Make sure you join us next week as my sister Allison Danger will join us for a conversation. We will find out why somehow she is the favorite of my mother, you know, and we'll talk about a lot of things to see how I broke into the business and before her, and then she retired before me because I'm awesome. Take that, Mom. Dan, till next week. I am Steve Carino. He's Dan McGinn. Justin Rosaro is somewhere. And this was The Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to The Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com. I think it's that time.